Lord, we want to thank you this morning for all that you are, that you are good, that you are faithful, that you are loving, that you're merciful. I want to thank you that you're all powerful. Nothing can prevent you from achieving your purposes, your kingdom purposes of love and forgiveness and redemption for us. And that your heart is towards us. We pray this morning that we'll receive all that we need to receive from you. And that you'll give us a hunger for more of you. And a greater trust for you. And a greater appreciation of all that you are and all that you give. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit down. Today it's kind of kid-friendly again, which means that the adults should understand most of it, which is good. I'm going to split the talky bit up, and then we're going to have a break, and then we're going to have some more worship, and then we're going to have another bit of a talky bit. I just wanted to, I checked with Elaine before if she wanted to give testimony, but she's a bit shy, so I'm going to give testimony on her behalf, because I just want you to get a glimpse of what some of the things that God's doing at the moment and the way he works. A few weeks, couple of weeks back, Elaine had a fall and landed on her shoulder. She has quite a lot of shoulder pain anyway, but there was a great deal of it down the side here. And when she came to church, she, in typical Elaine fashion, didn't want to make a fuss because she was wanting to make sure the Sunday school kids were looked after. But Michael Sayers, probably as usual in typical Michael Sayers fashion, had a bit of trepidation about coming forward. Was this really from God or not? But he came because he's got some guts. And he felt that actually someone needed to receive healing. Do you remember that, Michael? And so Elaine then felt that at the end, when I asked people to stand for prayer, that she was standing for prayer to receive healing. So she stood for prayer, and just as we prayed together, that pain was healed. Just like that. Or as the French say, juste comme ça. That's the kingdom. Elaine was faithful because she stood. Michael was faithful because he brought a word. And then Elaine was able to receive by faith what God had got for her. And that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Oh, yeah, can you see the excitement? Did you see that it was just flashing around the room there? You can hardly contain yourselves. It's amazing. And today, that ties in very much with the fact that last week we were thinking about sowing and reaping. This week we're thinking about, I guess, our resources, what God gives to us and our attitude to them. And we're thinking about the Father who provides for us. Some of the ways our Heavenly Father provides for us. Some of the things he provides, some of the gifts he gives us and the ways we respond. And though it's just after Christmas, some people have been, I mean, they're just such lovely people that I felt they deserved extra presents. And Marty is one of them. He's faithfully leading worship. And I wanted to give him a little something this morning. I'm excited about giving it to him. I hope he's excited about receiving it. You can open it now, and I don't mind. Please do.
Save the wrapping?
No, the wrapping's very cheap. So... So, do you love it?
It's lovely. It's great.
It's
what I've always wanted.
You don't sound convincing.
No, I think I sound a bit constipated.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll have it back then. Thanks very much, Marty. Thank you. Actually, I'm going to keep it because I need it. But that's another story. Now, he didn't really appreciate his gift, did he? He tried to be gracious because he's a Christian, but he didn't really appreciate it. Why not? And can any of the kids help me? Why do you think he wasn't really that chuffed with that gift? Are you a kid? Can't get the staff, can you? sometimes, good answer. We'll go back to Lynn in a minute if no one else answers. Why do you think he wasn't excited about his gift? Anyone? It was a boring gift. Who said that? G'day. See you later. It is a boring gift. It was cheap. It was not something special. It was a kind of very everyday thing, isn't it? Bit of food that you'd have for breakfast. Not even a very interesting breakfast. And you know, the way we are very often with God is the same about the things that he gives us every day. We think they're not special. We don't get excited about them. We take them for granted because they're everyday gifts. And we end up being ungrateful. Moses was having a chat to the children of Israel after they'd been wandering in the desert for some time. And come out of it. And were heading to better times. And he said this: remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, that sort of bready stuff that came from heaven every day, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Imagine that. Food appears from heaven every day for 40 years. Every day. Imagine for 40 years your clothes don't wear out. I was talking to Joe this morning. I wonder how many weddings they had in the desert and how many times the women said, I haven't got a thing to wear. I mean, I guess they were cured of having to wear something new for every wedding, weren't they? But can you imagine clothes not wearing out for 40 years? It's just not. Some of you can't even. Some of you kids, you wear through a pair of trousers, pants to you, in a day. Trainers are worn out in a month. Imagine even going on Christmas shopping. Those are a little bit older. Were your feet not causing you a bit of trouble? Maybe a little hint of swelling now and then. In the desert for 40 years. But because they got used to these things, that health, those clothes, that food, they ended up taking them for granted. They complained about a boring diet. They forgot about what God gave them every day. And what I'd like you to do, just take a minute now, and you can maybe do it as an exercise this week. If you're in a family, do it as a family. If not, and you don't want to do it on your own, find someone else to do it with. Because people couldn't be more excited about sharing God's goodness together, I hope. And just thank God for what he gives you every day. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Because he never stops providing those things. He never stops giving us what we need. He never stops forgiving us. He never stops blessing us. Think about the things he's giving you that are so normal that you take them for granted. Say thank you for them. Maybe you live in a lovely home. And instead of saying thank you for your lovely home, you're always thinking about the next thing. The extension, the new kitchen, whatever. Learn to be thankful. Well, that didn't go down very well. But I think I have something that will now. This is a little something for Jo, because she's a wonderful woman. You can tell from the bag it's going to be good. I haven't wrapped it because I think she'll want to be making use of it straight away. So there you are, darling. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask the kids about this. I'm going to ask the women. Why do you think that Jo is not entirely thrilled with that gift? Don't let the anger come out. Just speak it out graciously. Why is she not entirely pleased with that gift? Perhaps Lynn can help us this time. Depends if she likes ironing. Why do you think she might not be pleased? Laurie?
I'm not sure if it has a Teflon coating.
It does have a Teflon coating, so it's not that. Pardon? It's associated with work. It's a gift as much for me, isn't it? So that I can have my ironing done, as it were. That doesn't work. Anyway, shocking. She didn't appreciate it because, well, there was no wrapping. It wasn't really for Joe. It was for Joe to use for the benefit of the whole family. And men, just a little tip. Things like irons are not good gifts to give at Christmas or for birthdays unless they've been specifically asked for. Okay, I don't think they've got it still. They're still thinking, but a food mixer, that'll be great. Yeah. It can be the same with God. He gives us gifts, but they're gifts to serve the family. The gifts might not be in a spectacular wrapping, if you like, so we don't realize how precious they are. Listen to these verses from Romans. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what's evil, cling to what's good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now, traditionally in the church, people think that people who have certain gifts are spiritual and people who have other gifts are not. They even think that people who have certain gifts are godly and holy and people who have other gifts are not. And that is tosh. Do you use the word tosh? It's very British, I realise. It's rubbish. We mustn't mistake gifting for godliness or character. I always try to throw something British in every week because you're expecting it now. Splendid. Tea and cucumber sandwiches. You just love it. We mustn't mistake these things because the church has done it for years and we end up being fooled. But we do it. We go, healing, prophecy, leadership, preaching, teaching, words of knowledge. Wow, exciting. Bring it on. Encouraging, serving, giving, hospitality. I do wish someone else would have those gifts so I can have the zippy ones. God designed the church to work when we use the gifts he gives us to help the family. We can end up being ungrateful because we don't have other gifts which have got a more exciting wrapping. This morning, 10 people turned up to do setup. Isn't that fantastic? We can't do without those gifts. Otherwise, we would be sitting on the floor and I'd be shouting. I don't mind the shouting bit, but you might mind the sitting on the floor. We can end up feeling that God hasn't provided for the church because people don't use their gifts as well. And as a church, it's not our responsibility to be angry with others for not using their gifts. It's our responsibility to use the gifts that we've been given faithfully. All of the gifts are precious. All of them are needed for the family. I wonder what gifts and what resources you have. Are you sharing them? Are you using them? Are you taking them for granted? Are you not valuing them because they're not spectacular? And maybe this week you can take some time to think about what your gifts are. Ask God to show you. Be grateful and use them for the family. The Father who provides for us. That's the first bit. We're going to have a break in a moment, then some more worship, and the last two bits. I have extremely exciting gifts to come.
I'm excited myself about these, so I'm hoping the people involved will be. So I want to say again, I want to say a special thank you for those who turned up this morning. I much appreciate you doing that and making this all run smoothly. And to say that the floors have been polished, as you can see. And so there's no pack-up today and there's no set-up next Sunday morning. And for a few weeks. So that's really great. And so you know, next Sunday, it's going to be kind of more of a normal service in the sense of a worship time, the break, kids going out watching a movie, and then a longer talky bit. So just so you know what you're coming to. And to say that we're going to take the our offering now. If you're regular members, be giving towards the work of the church and the growth of the kingdom. If you're not, it's great if you want to, but we're not after your money. We just love you being here. So if you can prepare to do that, and then whoever is doing the offering this morning, which looks like Jane. No, she's just going to get a massive check from her bag. That's okay. That's fantastic. Is anyone responsible for it today? It looks, so the gift of common sense is now being used. Wonderful. And as they're taken up, I'm just going to pray. Lord, pray that our giving will be a reflection of our thanks to you. Pray, Lord, that your word that's gone to us now will go into our hearts and will continue to do so as we go through the rest of the service, Lord. And we want to thank you most of all for all you give to us. And pray, Lord, that you will more and more instill in us and help us to have an attitude that is full of thankfulness for your mercies that are new every morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please enjoy the break. We'll call you back in a bit. Please do sit down, and we're going to continue thinking about God and his provision for us. It's just great to worship together, to think about the God who always was, who is, who always will be, the Ancient of Days. Now, I haven't done very well with my gifts so far. Joe said the look she was going for was disdain, and I think really she managed that. That's quite a good look. And so I've decided probably I can't go wrong with big generosity. So Tim, my eldest boy, please come out. I've got a little something for you. I don't think we can go wrong with this one. If we can just... there you go, buddy. Just show the people. Just show. You need to go a bit closer. It's a check for $2 million. Yeah. And anything else? Okay. Well, maybe we need to talk about that later. Okay. You go and sit down. Yes, it's the ANP Bank. Another POM or Australia Never Pays, whichever one you want it to be. A check for $2 million. Now, the only thing that troubles me, that though Tim is very delighted and thankful, he plans to spend the money on a big house, a fast car, because he said that these are the kind of things that impress people, and he wants people to think is important. I'm a little troubled by that, I have to say. Of course, Tim didn't really say that, but there are people who think like that, aren't there, when it comes to God's provision. When God does bless them, kind of goes to their head in one way or another, whether it's with spiritual riches or physical riches. And Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians about people who are well blessed and believe that they've got many gifts, says this: "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" Wealth, whether it's spiritual riches or physical material riches, can get in the way. It can make us big-headed. It can make us not rely on God, but on our resources, whether it's our intelligence, whether it's our career, whether it's our gifting, whether it's an inheritance, whether it's our business acumen, whatever it is. We can look for significance in the wrong things. And Jesus said, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's a bit freaky, isn't it, really? How on earth would a camel get through the eye of a needle? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you a little story. And there's pictures, too. Are you ready? It's a proper story. Like that you'd read at bedtime, and I'm going to tell it now in church. Wow. I know. Here is a wall which surrounds a town. In the wall is a little gate. It has a funny name. It's called the Eye of a Needle because it's so small. One day, a camel arrives at the gate. This is no ordinary camel. He has a fine saddle with red tassels and his own servant boy to flick away the flies. He's loaded high with carpets to sell in the market. Make way, he says. I'm coming through. But he isn't coming through at all. He can't get through the hole. He's too big. Try wriggling through backwards, says the boy, and he shows the camel how. Camels never wriggle, says the camel. But just the same, he turns around and pushes his bottom into the hole. He heaves and pushes. He even wriggles. But it's no good. He cannot get through the gate. I'll unload you, says the boy. He unties the ropes and takes off all the carpets. Now, try again. It's no use. The camel still cannot squeeze through the gates. Your saddle keeps getting stuck, says the boy. You'll have to let me take it off. Without his saddle, his fine saddle, the camel does not look proud and important anymore. He's just an ordinary camel. Once more, the camel tries, down on his knees, shuffling forward inch by inch until finally, hooray, he's through. Jesus says, it's very hard for a rich man to get into heaven. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. So now you know what the story means, if you didn't before. When it's all taken away, we realize who we really are. We realize who we really depend on. Now, here's the thing. Wouldn't it be great to realize who we really are and who we really depend on without it all being taken away? But God is so committed to our relationship with Him, He will not let things consistently get in the way. And if He has to take stuff away from us, He will. Try not to get into that position. It's much better to have the stuff and to realize who God is and to use it well. Thank God for the riches we have, whether material possessions or success in business or intelligence or good looks or skills and strengths, all gifts from God. Remember who gave us those things. Be thankful. Every day, be thankful. Never forget they're from God, not because we deserve them. Be grateful and humble. Don't look down on other people because they're not as intelligent as you are. Who gave you your intelligence in the first place? Don't look down on people because they're not as gifted. Who gave you the gifts? Use what you have to serve God and others. Well, the check for $2 million didn't work too well, so I'm just going to try a slightly different ploy. If Matt, who is smaller, I'll give him a smaller check. I think that's reasonable. Sizes. Mini Matt, he's just called me sizist. Let's show the people. They can't see from there.
I know.
You know, he's very resistant. It's only $1 million this time, but I hope you're very pleased with it. Tell me. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that later as well. Take it away. You can put it in the offering later. He's a little bit more concerned. First of all, he thinks I'm sizist because I gave him a smaller check. Secondly, because it wasn't such a big check as Tim's, he's a little bit worried. He's worried what people will think about him having lots of money. He's worried because life is uncertain, and once he's paid for his education and got a house and a car, there won't be that much left. So he's got a check for $1 million, and he's worried. Before I gave him the check, he wasn't worried. Now he's got $1 million, he is worried. What's the dad to do? 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Wealth really is uncertain, isn't it? It really is. Our hope and our trust is in God. And the Bible says he provides us things, now here's the thing, for our enjoyment. Do you know Christians are pathetic at enjoying things generally? Do you know that in the back in the old days of the Puritans, because they really felt that if they kind of enjoyed things too much, that there was something sinful about it. If they had a fire on in a room, then they'd open the window so they'd still be cold. And, you know, Christians can be a bit like that nowadays, that we kind of feel guilty about being blessed, feel guilty about enjoying things. We end up being afraid of the comments of other people. And to be honest, there could be a lot less comments from other people. And those comments don't help. We're afraid of the uncertainty of life. We're unable to enjoy what God has given us for fear of losing it one day. Now, I'm not talking about being wasteful. What I am talking about is the fact that our hope is in God. And that we actually, part of our calling is to, when God blesses us, to enjoy it, to appreciate it, by using it, by sharing it, by finding joy in it. Our Heavenly Father provides for us out of a loving heart for his children. Let's be thankful for the things he provides day in, day out, and not take them for granted. Let's be thankful for the gifts he's given us for the family of the church and use them well, whether they're spectacular or not, whether they're super spiritual or not. Because if we use the gifts God's given us faithfully, that's how those gifts will grow. And if we use those gifts faithfully, God may bless us with other gifts. Remember the parable of the talents? Maybe not. A couple of you do. Yeah, good. Let's enjoy the rich things he provides without relying on them, without trusting them, without taking credit for what God's given us and thinking that we're more than we are. Let's not forget where it comes from and why it's there, and use that provision thankfully and gladly, sharing it, enjoying it, sowing it, so that we reap. Because that's the way God intended it, and that's the way it works. So number one New Year attitude this year is an attitude of gratitude. I know it's a bit twee, isn't it, but it's something to remember. An attitude of gratitude. It is our habit as a family when we pray, and certainly when Joe and I pray last thing at night, and when I pray in the mornings, to, whenever asking for things, always remember what God has provided. Always remember what God has provided. Always thank. Always thank. Always thank him for the place we've been given to live, for the kids we've been given. Always thank him for the gifts he's given, as well as asking for the things that we need in the day. And you know, you might think, do that every day? What a chore. Do that every day? What a blessing. What a blessing. Because it actually helps thankfulness and praise to rise up in our hearts. And it actually helps trust to rise up in our hearts too. Remember where you came from. Remember who made you who you are. Remember to enjoy what you've been given and to praise God for it. Just a sense that there's maybe a couple of people here today. You've been shaped by what you do have in a negative way. And you need to go back to God and thank him for giving it. And there's a couple who've been shaped by what you don't have in a negative way. And you need to stop focusing on what you don't have and start remembering what you do have, which is everything you need, but not everything you want. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for meeting with us as we worshipped you. Thank you that you do indeed inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you for meeting with us because you speak to us of your love. Help us to receive that love and receive your blessing. Give us those heart attitudes of thankfulness, Lord, we pray. And let that change the way we live this week. Change the way we are with others. Change the way we are with you. In your precious name. Amen. Well, bless you.